Right, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yesterday evening I was practicing this sermon to Rochelle, and just as I was starting and I just got to the good morning, I hear this voice of my mother-in-law calling from outside. It's sounding great so far. Oh, I was greatly encouraged by that, you know. And promptly went over and shut the window. And said, well, I just, you know, I don't want to carry on and... I don't want to just carry on in the presence of God, you know, come upon you and fall, you fall over and fly out there. Yeah. Looks like it's good.
Is there a handout?
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
So yeah, I said, I didn't want you to fall over in the flower bed, you know, with the presence of the Lord upon you while I go through this sermon. So anyway, so that was a good start. But what I want to speak about this morning is the most important thing in all of eternity. God is the most important being. I'm going to be talking about him some as well. But I want to talk about the most important thing, the call on our lives, and it far outweighs every other call, and that is the call to intimacy. And God wants to draw us into intimacy, and I pray that today we just hear his heart call. He wants to lead us into greater intimacy, each of us, and so that our heart is like those verses that were read over Luca Pedrosa last week, which says one thing, which Michael read this morning. I was like so encouraged because Michael read it out. He didn't know I was going to show. One thing I ask of the Lord. This is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. So my aim this morning is that by the help of the Holy Spirit, we would have a deeper hunger. We would leave with a deeper hunger, a deeper passion for Jesus this morning. That we would go away with just a feeling, I want to know you more, Jesus. And if that's the result, then that I've succeeded this morning, because he wants to meet with us during the week. It's not just a sermon on a Sunday, but if we learn to meet with him, then we've got a wellspring of life every day. Let's just stand together and just pray. Holy Spirit, let's just open our hearts. And if you've got a little bit of desire, speak out from that little bit of desire. You don't have to speak out loud. If you've got a lot of desire, speak out from a lot of desire. If you haven't got any desire for God this morning, speak it out to God and say, change me, God. I haven't got any desire for you this morning, but change me. Let's just speak it out in our hearts. Let's just take a moment to do that. Lord Jesus, we want you, Lord. Lord, even sometimes when we don't feel like we're very passionate, we still, Lord, there's a little bit there that wants you, Lord. Wants to know you, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, move upon that, Lord. You're gracious. You're good. You move upon that a little bit, Lord, and just make our hearts wide open for you. Lord, we want to have a hunger and a passion for Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Okay, let's take our seats. So the title for this morning, if you're taking notes, is Intimacy and Mission. And it might seem quite a broad topic, but it's taken from the verse Matthew 4, verse 19, where it says, follow me. Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's calling the first disciples, actually. He's saying, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. We've got that thing that if we follow, we do the first thing, there will be a result. We will be fishers of men. What has God been saying to us over the last 6 months? Well, the first things that spring to my mind are, he's been speaking about surrender, giving our lives his way, not our way. He's been speaking about opening our door. He's standing at the door knocking. He's been speaking about expansion, enlarging our tents, making room. Let the King of Glory in. Lift up the gates. He's bigger than we've made room for. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. He's been speaking to us about opening our lives, coming in, surrender, taking every part of our lives. And he spoke quite powerfully to us when Steve Thomas was here from the verses of Isaiah 54, where God's speaking to the barren woman, telling her to sing, that she is going to give birth. And even though she's got no children, enlarge your tents, spread out the cords, strengthen the stakes, because there's growth coming, there's babies coming. And he spoke quite powerfully to us about that. But the thing is, we can get a bigger church building, we can plant churches everywhere, we can get groups ready to care for people that are coming in, but if we're not drawing close to the Lord, who's our husband, then there's nothing but emptiness. There's nothing but empty spaces in our tents. But he's graciously drawing us and speaking to us. All right, so follow me. I don't know if the PowerPoint's working. Oh, it is working. Cool. The call to intimacy. Okay, so before we get all the points up there, let's just have some thoughts. What does that mean to the disciples when Jesus said, follow me? What was he calling them into? Just call out some things. What did it mean for them to, if they were going to follow? Sorry? Yeah, lots of time. Yeah, leaving their lives behind. Sacrifice, did somebody say? Yeah. Right. Good.
Surrender.
Yeah. His life, not their own life. Okay. That's good. Some things. We're just going to go through a few of those things. Firstly, the relationship on his terms. This morning I'm going to share with you just little bits that I've written in my journal over the last few months. I just thought it would be, if you have to bear with me, but just some of the stuff that God's been speaking about, and I thought it might just bring it alive. Sometimes when you hear somebody's words, it kind of brings it alive more than just just reading off a page kind of thing. So he calls us into a relationship of abandonment and one where he is the Lord. And this is what I wrote on June the 29th, and it's taken from the verse Mark 8:34. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And I wrote this. He calls us into relationship with purpose. When he calls the first disciples, he says, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. He calls them into relationship, into intimacy, and mission. But as the verse above shows, it's relationship on his terms, not ours. It's not a relationship of two equals. It's a relationship of lordship, obedience, laying down our lives. We don't come to him on equal terms. We come to him in surrender. But the one who we're called to lay our life down for has laid his life down for us, that we might know him, the one who is fullness of life. Oh, Jesus, may I not lose a life of intimacy with you. May I not grow cold. May I not drift away into nothingness. But may I be willing to suffer with you, to push into you, even when the going gets hard. He calls us, but it's on his terms, not our own. So he's calling the disciples, but they had to leave. It's exactly what somebody said, leave their own lifestyle behind and take up his. Okay, he calls us, when he was calling disciples, he's calling them to a life of discipleship. Jesus would shape them and change them. I was thinking of the verses from, maybe somebody can read it. Let's get Charlie Whitley. Have your Bibles ready, because I'm going to pick on a few people to read. Charlie Whitley, can you read Matthew 16, verse 16 to 18?
in a nice clear voice that you've got. Okay, so there's times where he's encouraging Peter, and then just a few verses after that, Peter just goes and blows it, because Jesus says, I'm going to die, and Peter says, let me just take you aside, Jesus. No, that's not going to be the way it is, and he's trying to tell Jesus what's going to happen, and then Jesus rebukes him and says, get behind me, Satan. Strong words. So he's called into this life where he's being discipled. There's times where he's being encouraged, and there's times where he's being put right. And that's what we're called into. Are we willing to be discipled, to let others shape us and change us, to challenge us? God uses these relationships to speak into our lives. Are we willing to get linked in? It's a life of dependency is what he is calling them into. Receiving his strength and support. A life of envisioning. Receiving his vision, not their own. A life of surrender. I think Peter kind of grows in his understanding of what it's going to cost him as time goes on. Because Jesus says, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And then a little bit later, they're hearing about the cost of what it means to take up the cross. And then at the end, he says this to Jesus. Jesus has blown it. He's denied Jesus. And Jesus has graciously reinstated him. And he says, truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself. This is John 21, verse 19. And walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This was said to him to show the kind of death he was to glorify God. And after this, he said to him, follow me. So Peter's just grown in this understanding of what it's going to cost. And then finally Jesus tells him, it's going to cost you your life. And then he says, follow me. Okay, a life, he calls him into a life of knowing him and being known by him, even in suffering. And I think Peter's, as he grew to know Jesus, as he grew to be close to him, there was a willingness to accept what it cost. If he was told at the beginning, you're going to die on a cross, I think he probably would have walked the other way. But as he grew to know Jesus, he was willing to take it. His heart was more like Paul's, where, who's going to read this? John, would you read this for me? It's Philippians 3, verse 8 to 10. Philippians 3, 8 to 10. Good. So Peter's heart probably was becoming more and more like Paul's, who was willing just to take the suffering because he wanted intimacy. And why did he want to suffer? I mean, it seems like Paul saying, I want to suffer with Christ. Well, why would you want to suffer? Why would you say that you wanted to suffer? And I think it's not the suffering that he wanted, but it was that place of intimacy. that you have when you suffer with somebody. A true friend goes through it all with you. They weather the storms. And something in those times is more precious than all the easy times put together. It goes far deeper. Have you known those times in life where you walk through something painful with somebody? Maybe they've lost somebody close to them. And yet, even though it's a painful time and you're suffering with them, it's like you feel privileged because you get to be close to them in that time. And I think of friends of mine in England who, my friends Greg and Katie, and Greg's mum committed suicide. And Katie, I don't know how long apart these coincidences were, but she lost a close friend to cancer. And I knew a little bit of what it is to walk with somebody in grief and to stand with them. And you get joined deeper, don't you? You find that your heart is deeper than ever was before. It's like better than, there's a deepness that's greater than even all the good times put together. And I know a lot of you have experienced way more of that than I have. But that's what Paul wanted. He wanted that place where even in suffering, he was knowing Jesus and knowing that place of intimacy. Okay, what is intimacy? Really, all these things that we've talked about is to do with intimacy. Jesus was calling them, when he said, follow me, he's calling them into a life of intimacy. Not the kind of gushy, kind of romantic intimacy that we might think of, but real relationship where we know each other and we know the good things about one another. We know the bad things about one another and we love each other still. And that's the kind of intimacy that Jesus is calling them into and inviting them into. And it's uncomfortable, but it's a place of deepest friendship. I think we've all got a longing in our heart for more than just the superficial. We want something of the deep relationship. And I just want to say to every age, Jesus is wanting to speak to this morning. He wants a relationship with us all. Whether you're 3 years old, whether you're 5 years old, 8, 10, 15, it doesn't matter, or older. Jesus wants intimacy. He wants to know you. And I think of my girls, and in their own little way, they're starting to understand something about Jesus. They're 3 years old. They don't always get it exactly right. But there's something in their hearts, in Caitlin and Hannah's hearts, that wants to know Jesus. The other day, yesterday actually, they had some money. And I was trying to teach them that we give some of this back to God, you know. We tithe some of it and we bring it to God to give back to him. And Hannah wasn't quite getting it and she said, well, but God is in my tummy. She wasn't quite getting it. And then the other day at the at breakfast, she said, God is in my tummy. And when I eat some food, he can have some too. But in their own way, they're starting to know something about Jesus. And I've heard of people at 3 years old, 4 years old. I gave my life to Jesus when I was 4 years old. So he's calling, even at that age, he's calling little ones to know him. Even in a simple way, they can understand something about Jesus. And I can remember when I was 7 years old, I got my first guitar. And I, sorry to say to all the music teachers here, I wasn't really that bothered with learning all the theory, although it probably would have helped me now, but I wasn't bothered with learning the theory. I wanted to know how to play worship songs so that I could worship in my room. And that's something I did regularly, was learning these songs and just worshiping. And you can do that at 7 years old. At 8 years old, I can remember coming across some Bob Mumford tapes that my dad had. And I was drawn in because of the funny titles. Those of you who have heard Bob Mumford's tapes, there's crazy titles that he uses, and he uses funny stories. There was one called Beauty Under the Badger's Skin. I mean, you just had these titles that kind of drew you in. So what's he on about? And but that age, I was starting to listen to that. 10 years old, I can remember going to a summer camp. We were on holiday somewhere. We just went for the day to this camp that was going on. And I went to a meeting, a young people's meeting. And it was real worship. It wasn't just made up silly songs. although those are good sometimes. But there was some real worship going on, and they sung the song, which must have been just written, "Reign in Me, Sovereign Lord, Reign in Me." And I can remember the presence of God being there and just being touched by the presence of God and wanting Jesus. So, and through my teens, just playing the guitar, you know, I did lots of naughty things too, lots of things that I got in trouble for, but there was also a desire in my heart to know Jesus. And Jesus wants each of you, each of you young ones, to know that he wants a relationship with you, and he can draw you right now into that. So be led into that. You know, you can put on a worship tape in your room and do crazy dancing. You can do whatever you like. Anything that draws you into the presence of God. Okay, so how do we get into intimacy? There's some more general things and some more practical things. But firstly, taking time. It's simple. It's going to take time. And we say, but we're so busy. We don't have time. But God's saying, make room. Make way. Lift up the gates. Let me in. I'm too big for what you've made room for so far. Lift up the gates. Let me in. I'm bigger. I'm more glorious. I'm greater. Let me into your life. Do whatever you have to do to prioritize the King of Kings above all things. Make the priority. We only have one life. We only have one life here. Let's use it well. He's calling us to intimacy. Sometimes we say we have in our mind, but we've got all of eternity to learn how to be intimate with God, and we can worship him there. Why not just, you know, wait for that, and we can just get on with our lives down here? But that is to say that God's way is not the best for us down here. That's to play God, to say, well, that's good for then, but it's not good for now. When actually the most important thing is that we're intimate with God now. That place, from that place of intimacy, everything else comes. Let's read, if you can open your Bibles, to Matthew 22, verse 37. Jesus says that the greatest commandment, and the first commandment, is the reason that it's first. Because it is first, supposed to be first. Matthew 22, verse 37 to 38. Everybody found that? Matthew 22, verse 37 to 38. Let's read this together. Okay. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." How do we grow in intimacy? We need to be tied into the vine. Margaret, would you read from John 15, 4 to 5? Verse 4 to 5. Leave your own way of doing things. Submit. Surrender. Come under the wisdom of our Almighty God. Desire him. Be grafted in. Closely. Tightly. Receiving the sap of life. And you will find that all the answers for life are hidden in Christ Jesus. There's that verse in Colossians 2, verse 3, where it's talking about Jesus. In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Everything that we need for life is hidden in him. He'll be tied into the vine. We need to see seeing Jesus. You know, Paul kept on praying for the church, And he hardly, I don't know that there's many prayers that are for the lost in the New Testament. It's virtually all for the church. All that they would see him, that their eyes would be open, that they would have be revealed who he is to them. And why is that? Because Paul knew that if you have an encounter with Jesus, everything flows from that place. Your life is different forever. Just one encounter when he was knocked off his donkey changed his life forever because he saw something of Jesus. That's all you need. So he prayed again and again for the church that their eyes would be open. Because if the church is seeing Jesus, then this will be a glorious place to be. There'll be the lost coming in left, right and center if we all together are seeing Jesus regularly. Charlie Cleverly, who's a minister in England in the Anglican Church, said, talking about the prayer that Paul prays for in Ephesians for the church, he says, "This prayer for revelation is so important. From our vision of Christ and his love, all our ministry can flow." Okay, there's some practical things that we can do that can help and hinder us from having intimacy with Jesus. In England, the average person watches 3 hours of television a day. And I did a little maths. I'm not that great at maths, but I was good enough to do this. And I did a little maths and kind of added up for 70 years. It's kind of the average life. How many, you know, how long is that that the average person's watching TV? And it adds up to 8 whole entire years of somebody's life is spent watching the television. And that's not even including the internet and everything else. But 8 entire years. What a waste. And, you know, there's good stuff on the TV. I'm not saying throw out your TV. That might be what God's saying to you. There's good stuff to watch. But also, we know it's the place where all the garbage of the world gets displayed. And even flicking through the channels can leave you dry and drained. Just because you're flicking through the channels and all these things are coming at you from the things that you see. Thoughts that weren't there before suddenly come out just because you're flicking through channels. It's simple. We just need to choose who we will follow and follow. So if there's stuff that leaves you, that you watch, that leaves you drained and dry, or leaves little or no time for the Lord, then make your choice. Disciples had a choice whether they were to follow or not. We've got a choice whether we'll follow or not. What we put first. Another thing that can hinder us is that we become workers first and not worshippers. Sometimes it's the good things given the wrong priority that get in the way. And Tozer said, "We are here to be worshippers first. And workers only second. Because the work done by a worshipper will have eternity in it." Read that again. "We are here to be worshippers first and workers only second. The work done by a worshipper will have eternity in it." And Mike Bickle, who wrote After God's Own Heart, which Charlie just lent me the day before yesterday, I just read this quote. "When the human heart is engaged with God in intimacy and devotion, then I assure you that the rest of the major things of the kingdom will happen in their time." There's a misconception that, well, if we're so heavenly minded, we're in no earthly use. But it's complete garbage. It couldn't be more opposite. The more heavenly minded, the more full of Jesus we are, the more use we are in the world, the more strength we have, the more energy we have to do the things he's calling us. He also says, "Anyone who sits at the feet of Jesus, given a little bit of time, will run headlong into the great evangelist and his kindness and compassion." The first commandment, which Jesus talks about, the greatest commandment, is the very foundation of soul-winning power. It's a place where we get life. The place that takes us out to the people around us. It's the place that gives us something to give. What have we got to give if we're not receiving life from Him? What is a branch that's on its own not receiving the sap of life? If it's loosely tied in, it's just getting a trickle of sap. There's not going to be much fruit. If you're tightly tied in, there's going to be lots of fruit. There's lots of other things that are hindrances. We could go on and on and get really depressed. But that's not the point. This is just a couple of things that were just came to my mind. But whatever it is that we need to do to prioritize Jesus above all things. Okay, how do we grow in intimacy? Well, how do you grow in relationship with your husband or your wife? Or how do you grow in relationship with a good friend? In Revelation, Jesus says to the church of Ephesus, I have this thing against you. They were good at working. They were doing all this good stuff. I have this one thing against you, that you've abandoned your first love. And he said, in response to that, he gives them a way back. He says, remember the height from which you've fallen. Repent. Go the other way. Go my way. And do the things that you did at first. Okay, let's get practical. For those of you who are married, what did you do before you were married? When you were first in love with your spouse? What did you do to show that love? Come on, shout out some things. Be bold.
That's too embarrassing.
Tell
letters.
Some. Write letters. Good. What else? Tony, the only one who's romantic here and loved his wife. Come on. What some other things? What's that? Excellent. Spend as much time as possible. What else? Yeah. Anticipation of meeting. What else? What's that?
Long walks.
Long walks. Excellent.
Getting tackled on the beach.
Excellent. Yeah, there's lots of things. Even that. Yeah, you can write letters. I've even heard of some people, one certain young man who's in this congregation, singing across the road with a karaoke machine playing in the background, Lady in Red, to a certain young lady. And they're here this morning and they're expecting their fourth child. Isn't that right, Don? There's a passion. You sing songs. You sing songs to them. You write letters. You buy gifts. You spend as much time. You say that you love them. You read their words over and over again. We sacrifice for them. Nothing is too hard. I can remember being away from Rochelle and reading, getting her letters and reading her words over and over again. And I had to get alone with those letters. I didn't want to be around anybody else. I gazed at photos. I stayed up late to talk on the phone. I even was so nervous with excitement that I wrote a list of things to talk about on the phone so that I wouldn't have any nervous pauses. You may laugh, but I think there's other people here that have done the same thing. My father-in-law would be one to join with me there. Anybody else? I thought everybody did that. Yes, Blair. Blair did it too. Tony even admits to it. Yeah, it's not a bad thing. Okay, but we can do all these things with God. We can anticipate time with Him. We can write Him a letter. Write it in your journal. Write how you love Him. You can write a song to God expressing your love to Him. You can get time with Him. You can read His words over and over again. All these things we can do for God. So the church was told, do the things you first did. So maybe if the passion isn't burning hot, we need to do the things that we first did to God. What did you do when you were first in love with Jesus? Do those things. Set aside a regular meeting with God. We can say, well, God's in everything. He's in every part of my day. I don't need to set apart a special time. You know, He's everywhere. He's in everything. But that's good, but actually, that's also sometimes a way that God actually ends up in being very little of our lives. because we just keep on waiting and just kind of pushing him out, and we don't realize where he is. For example, when I'm with Rochelle in the house, I can spend the whole day in the house with Rochelle. And we can be busy with the kids and doing things. We can spend the whole day and we haven't connected once until we set aside some time just to sit and talk. And even then, we get interrupted and there's a little cry from the bathroom that comes out, "Please, can you wipe my bum?" Maybe nobody else has had that experience, but that's a regular experience in our house. Maybe we should teach them to say it more politely. "Please, can I have some assistance in the bathroom?" But we need to set time aside. Because although God is here with us and he's in our lives, unless we set time aside, we don't connect in the way that he wants us to. John Piper says, "We can easily deceive ourselves that we love God unless our love is frequently put to the test. And we must show our preferences not merely with words, but with sacrifice." Isn't that true? You can be in a marriage relationship, say, "I love you," and just be doing your own thing. But until you actually do something for that person, you actually lay down your life. That shows love more than anything else. The words can be empty if you're not showing it with your actions. Okay, we can help one another to push into intimacy. One of the things that when George was here from Africa speaking at North American Leaders Conference, one of the things that impacted me the most that weekend was when he held up a cell phone. And he says, "In Africa, we use these for the kingdom of God." And I was like, what is he talking about? You know, how can you use that for the kingdom of God? And he said, you know, they phone each other at 4:30 in the morning and say, "Come on, it's time to get up and seek the Lord." And I was impacted by that. I was like, wow, that would be a way that I could push into the Lord. And Michael Whitley was impacted by that. Leonard was impacted by that. And we decided to do the same thing, not at 4:30, not quite that dedicated yet, but 6 o'clock. And we decided to take it in turns, phoning one another at 6 in the morning, just to say, "Come on, time to get up and seek the Lord." And I'm sure there were times for all of us where we said, "Come on, it's time to get up and seek the Lord," and put the phone up, went back to sleep. But it has been life for us also. And I wanted for years to somehow, I saw my dad get up every day at 6 o'clock and spend time with the Lord and just have a life of intimacy with God. And I thought, I want that. How do I get that? I just didn't have the willpower. I didn't have the stamina to push myself to get up that early. Maybe some of you have more of an ability with that, but I just felt like I couldn't do that. But this is a tool that encourages us. We're responsible for one another. And so when it's my turn to phone, I have to get up and phone those guys, because they might not get up and seek the Lord. They might miss their time with God. And they also feel responsible for me. And so it pushes each other into the Lord. So there may be something like that that you can do with one another. Form a little group. Say, let's encourage each other to push in. And we can ask the Holy Spirit to draw us. You know, on this new CD that we're doing, there's a song called "You're So Different." And it came out of a time when I didn't have really any desire to read the Word. It was a day I didn't want to read the Word. I didn't want to pray. I didn't want to do much at all. But I had this tiny little bit of desire, and I opened up a C.S. Lewis devotional, daily devotional. And I had the tiniest millimeter of desire for God. And then all of a sudden, I opened that up, that millimeter, and then all of a sudden God rushed in. Through what I was reading, God came in by His Spirit, and there was a desire. All of a sudden, from nowhere, there was this desire for Him. And the song just says, "You're so different, refreshingly so." Just bowled over by the fact that He doesn't treat me like I deserve. He doesn't condemn me because I only have this much of desire. Instead, He meets me and He comes in and He fills way more. than I've opened for. So we can ask the Holy Spirit to draw us. And I just wanted to take a moment, let's take a minute just to ask God for a way that he would, how he wants to draw us in this next week. Just have a practical way. Let's just listen to God for a minute and just say, God, how do you want to draw me this week? What can I do this week that would make room for you? Because when it's God leading, it's life. It's not life when it's somebody telling you to do something, but when it's God, it's life. But take a minute just to ask God. Okay, I'm going to carry on here. Let's follow up with those things that God's put in our hearts. And you can ask him as well during the week what it is that would draw you into intimacy. God's after true intimacy, not an outward appearance. I'm just going to go through this bit quickly because we're of time. But God is always after the real signs of life. He doesn't want the outward appearance. In Joel, it says, even so declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding to love. There's always this thing where he wants the circumcision of the heart, not the outward appearance. He wants the heart, not the other things that we can show. And I wrote down in my journal, God is saying, I don't want the outward signs of circumcision. I want covenant relationship with you. I want the signs of real life. I don't want the outward signs of marriage. I want the reality of intimacy that leads to new life, new birth. The Lord is our husband. Will we enter into intimacy with him? The kind of intimacy that leads to new birth. Okay, so he calls us to follow, and then he leads us to be fishers of men on towards a mission. And the way to break the barrenness is to draw close to Jesus, is to spend time with him. I tell you what, you will not be barren if you spend regular time with Jesus. It's a fact. Judy Whitley said, when we were talking about this the other day, she said, becoming fishers of men is the natural byproduct of spending time with Jesus. It's absolutely natural. It's what will happen. You will catch his heart. You will catch his desire. Isaiah 54, go back to that. But in verse 5 it says this. This is about the barren woman. But in verse 5 it says, for your maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. The God of the whole earth he is called. I guarantee you, if we draw close to that Lord, you will not stay childless. This is full of power, this verse. The Lord is our husband. He's married to us. Let me tell you, he is your maker. This verse tells us he is our maker. He's the Lord of hosts. He's the Holy One of Israel. He is your Redeemer. And if that is not enough for us, he is the God of the whole earth. Do we think there's any barrenness in him? Is there any barrenness? There's no barrenness in him. None at all. He is the most potent husband ever. And as you draw near to him, you will become pregnant with life. It's a fact. It's simple. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. This verse has it all. It just contains intimacy and mission. The call to follow, and what happens as a result. I wrote in on June the 22nd, what a beautiful balance. We're first and foremost to be worshippers of God, caught up in relationship with God, having a passionate love for Jesus. But when you are close to someone, you catch who they are. You catch their heart. And Jesus' heart is mission. It's for the lost sons and daughters. The natural overflow from our life relationship with Jesus is that we become fishers of men, that our hearts ache for the lost. If we don't ache for the lost, then we need to ask God for a deeper love and passion for Jesus. We need to repent and do the things we once did. We need to return to our first love. It's not something for us to feel condemned about or to feel a failure about, but it's a chance for us to take stock and realize that a door is open for us into intimacy with Jesus. That the way is open for our love not to stay cold, but to become a blazing fire. God is gracious, He is patient for us. The disciples weren't always the most loving and welcoming people, but Jesus had chosen them. Jesus was not prepared to leave them where they were. The more time they spent with Jesus, the more they caught His heart. All that we do is worthless if it doesn't come out of a love relationship with Jesus. So we need to expand our tents. We need to hear that God is bringing new life. But we also need to draw close to the Lord who is our husband. It's just absolute fact. If you spent, I remember I just emailed George and to tell him what we got out of that time and what we were doing with the cell phone thing and how encouraged we were by that. And he emailed me back and he said, keep doing what you're doing and good things are on their way from the Lord to you. And that's not a kind of a spell or a funny kind of magic. It's absolute fact. You keep spending time with the Lord. You set aside time with the Lord and good things are on their way from God to you. His life will come into your life. And this quote from Henry Nguyen, the question is not how many people take you seriously, how much you are going to accomplish, can you show some results, but are you in love with Jesus? I just want to close with a song that came out of that time, that I wrote that came out of that time when, have I got time for this? Time? I'm over time, but there's time. Okay, I'm just going to sing this song that came out of that time on that Saturday night where we met with God in the North American Leaders Conference and God was touching us. I'm just going to sing that song. The words on the PowerPoint at all? Oh, that's me and Caitlin fishing. Listen to the words and just speaks of our need for Jesus. It's all we need. An encounter with the living Jesus is all that I shall ever need. There I find my full provision in His life, death, resurrection. Nothing's left undone. Oh Jesus, how I need You. Only You, that's all I need. Not the other things I've been seeking, just the life that flows from You. That's enough, enough by far, Jesus. Oh, the power that flows from Jesus. We must taste it now. We can't live this life without it. Not for a day, not for an hour. We need His power. Oh Jesus, how I need You. Only You, that's all I need. Not the other things I've been seeking, just the life that flows from you. That's enough, enough by far, Jesus. Oh, the free, pure life of Jesus that He offers to us now. No more waiting, no more wanting. He has died for our full access. Receive it, taste it now. Oh, Jesus, how I need you. Only you, that's all I need. Not the other things I've been seeking, just the life that flows from you. That's enough, enough by far. Oh, praise the name of our precious Jesus. Praise the Lamb that reigns on high. Praise His mercy, grace and goodness. Oh, I love you, Lamb of God. Oh, Jesus, how I need you. Only you, that's all I need. Not the other things I've been seeking, just the life that flows from you. That's enough, enough by far. Just the life that flows from you. That's enough, enough by far, Jesus.
Amen. Worship team, why don't you come on up? Thank you, Andrew. We're going to go ahead and let ourselves be dismissed. And unlike normal, let's leave the congregation, let's leave this building as a place where we can spend time in the presence of the Lord. Just going to ask the worship team to play for us. And some of you might want to just spend time with the Lord in intimacy. You might want to spend time seeking Him in regards to what we've heard. It's a beautiful day. We can visit outside for the rest of us. At 2 o'clock, there's a wedding that you're all invited to. And today is the last Sunday that Carol Pappas is here before she goes on her big trip. There you are, Carol. So Carol's just going to come over to this side, and we just encourage all of you, if you're able, if your children don't need you right now, to just come and spend some time praying for her as she goes away for the next 2 weeks to teach English, right? You're teaching school. Just teaching school, sorry. What did I say? 2 years. It's a long time, not just 2 weeks. 2 years. So, worship team, why don't you play for us? And church, we're free to be on our way. Next week, my family is going to be camping in the Okanagan. Tony's family is camping somewhere. Andrew and Rochelle are away. So there's a lot of people gone, but we'll be back in a couple of weeks. And just encourage you to take your summer, enjoy your family, and enjoy extra time with the Lord. Let me just close with this verse from Isaiah that Andrew had read to us a few times. Isaiah 45, verse 5. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Apart from me, there is no God. I will strengthen you. Though you have not acknowledged me, so that from the rising of the sun to the place of its setting, men may know that there is no one besides me. For I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light, I create the darkness. I bring prosperity and create disaster. I, the Lord, do all these things. And skipping to verse 18, for this is what the Lord says, He who created the heavens, He is God. He who fashioned and made the earth, He founded it. He did not create it to be empty, but formed it to be inhabited. He says, I am the Lord and there is no other. God loves this world and He made it to be inhabited by people. He didn't make it to be empty. He wants people with Him. Let's stand. Father, we just ask You to pour out Your presence upon each of us. We thank You for the words that Andrew has encouraged us with. Lord, we want to know You. We want to be near You. We want to be close to You. We want to hear Your voice. We want to hear Your word. We want to be fruitful. We want all of Your plans to reign in us and to come and work through us. We want You to be a husband to us and for us to be intimately close to You. Come and draw near to us. Even if we have not sought You, Your word says that You will do this. Father, whatever bit of faith is in people's heart, we say we reach out to You. Would You rush in? We open the door. Lord, would You draw near to us? In Jesus' name. May God bless you and meet with you and fill you with great joy. Go in peace.